Welcome to Heart of the Savior Ministries. You know, Palm Sunday is tomorrow, and having been raised in a very traditional church setting, Palm Sunday was one of my favorite faith days to celebrate. You know, even more than Christmas and Easter, if you can believe it. And I'm not going to open with an actual scripture reading this morning, but the words to a song that are based on God's Word, and I have sung this for years in celebration of Palm Sunday. And I can still hear the cathedral organ playing this song, and if I could have found someone to accompany me, I would have been bold enough to sing it to you. But today, I will just read the words to the anthem, Jerusalem, music by Henry Parker, and words by Nella. Behold, the king draws near the city gates. Go forth, Jerusalem, with shout and song. And moved as by one thought, the people rise and hasten forth, a glad, tumultuous throng. From out their peaceful village, along the sunlit way, the Prince of Peace leads on what a pilgrim band this day. Then, lo, with shouts triumphant, they hear the hillside ring, with shouts of crowds that hasten to greet their prophet king. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. He rides as Israel's rulers once rode in kingly state. The palm leaves wave around him, the people throng the gate. Rejoice, O golden city, let loud hosannas ring, while through the streets he rideth, the Savior and the King. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Lord, now as we meet thee, sing we Hosanna. Savior, we greet thee, Lord and King. Lord, now as we meet thee, sing we Hosanna. Savior, we greet thee, Redeemer, Lord and King. Hosanna. Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries and I are here together to help you learn about the importance of Palm Sunday in preparation for Resurrection Sunday, but also the fulfillment of prophecies by the prophets of the Old Testament, and even more, a deeper and powerful message of Christ's endurance to the end of his earthly ministry, that we might all be saved. Briefly, John, for our audience who have not had the pleasure of hearing you on our programs before, you and I go way back to Bible college, not that way back, we're not that old, but we were at Oregon College of Ministry where you were one of the professors and I was one of your students.
I remember.
Yes. You, however, are the founder of Endurance Ministries, and your ministry addresses cultural affairs in light of eschatological end time data in God's Word.
Yes.
So thank you for agreeing to help us celebrate Palm Sunday.
It's a blessing to be here once again.
Let me open by explaining why Palm Sunday's important to me, John.
Okay.
Not only was it the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem, which to me as a child, I could envision being a child out there waving those palm branches at him.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, however, I've come to understand that it was yet again the proof of God's eternal word, as the prophecies foretold of this amazing gift of God, and they were fulfilled. Secondly, I was raised that it was the start of a week of following Christ as he walked boldly toward the cross for us, knowing that he was going to die for me. And to me, that was powerful. So, John, let's touch briefly on the fulfillment of prophecies. Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on a donkey, mm-hmm, was an enacted parable, you know, a dramatic way in which Jesus proclaimed his messiahship as written 400 years before in Zechariah 9:9. And the second reference to prophetic fulfillment was when Jesus cleansed the temple of the money changers, and this was Malachi 3:1 through 3, and again, about 450 years before Jesus. And I want to read it. It says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness." You know, I could go on. There's Psalm 118 where Jesus' rejection and death were divinely ordained. And then Jesus quoted Psalm 110, which is recognized by all Jews as one of the greatest messianic psalms, which asserts not only his humanity, but his deity. There are so many references to how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of old, but I want to turn back now to Malachi 3:2, where it says, "But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears?" John, how does this passage and its fulfillment by Christ help us to understand endurance?
Well, that aspect in that context is set not in the first coming, but primarily in the second coming, when he comes not as the Savior, the Lamb of God, but the one who's coming as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The aspect of endurance is huge in that he calls us toward that end in some of the prophetic passages as to the days prior to the return of Jesus Christ. But here again, we look to the one who is in the limelight, Jesus Christ, and we see that the aspect of endurance is, well, in where I'm going, Leslie, is beyond our understanding. I guess I'm thinking of Hebrews chapter 12. He was looking forward to the cross, but it was for the joy that was set before him that he endured. Yet he was in great agony, sweating great drops of blood. Well, my question is, can both emotional responses be one's experience at the same time? And I would say, in light of Jesus Christ's example, emphatically yes. He resolved to obey the Father, to do that loving act for humanity. But in the middle of that, he had joy, but he also had agony in the sense that he knew what he was about to face. So let me use the theme of love. Last month, we celebrated Valentine's Day. We don't want to just let that pass. We want to continue in a celebration of love as manifest and disclosed by God. So here we go. The great demonstration of love, for God loves us so much that he demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners. In the expression of that, that enduring love, Jesus Christ not only fulfilled that passage that says, greater love has no one than this, but to give one's life for another. As man, the God-man, Jesus manifested, he fulfilled that expression of love second to none. But you know what? He also came as the divine Son of God. And so I am going to offer a suggestion here in light of the full counsel of the Word of God as far as principles. And I'm going to say that in his divinity, in addition to demonstrating as greatly as one can in the context of humanity, love by giving up one's life, he in his divinity, in light of John 1:1, for God, he was present with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I think you took my Greek class where we talked about prepositions, pros,
toward. Oh, yes. I got an A, by the way.
I think you did, and a couple others did. Well, we have this fellowship between the Godhead, a fellowship that we can't even understand.
No, we can't.
There's such intimacy and union there, and yet in his divinity, Jesus Christ sacrificed a moment when he took the sins of humanity upon himself for the sake of love for us, lost mankind. And because of that, the wrath of God was poured upon him, and there was a separation of relationship where Jesus himself says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Another prophetic passage concerning details about his first coming. Again, no one can deny these imprints of God as far as biblical prophecy, first and second coming stuff.
Yes.
But this aspect, as I've pondered, as I've meditated on the depth of love of God, that he would give his life, but also that he would do something that he had never experienced through eternity, and suffer separation, relational separation from his Father, that transcends my understanding. But that's a divine thing, because I can't even go there. Because how can that be? How can God do that? Well, with God, all things are possible. In the context of his expression of love for us, in this coming as Savior, God saves. Hosanna. We see again the accomplishment of God incarnate in Christ on our behalf. But what victory there? Very different than some of the ways we define victory as far as battles and overcoming. God has his plan, and he has secured it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I think that's where we need to encourage the listening audience, those who are out there who have not yet said yes to his love gift to them, that they would consider the season and go into this Holy Week with a mindset of, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take a risk. I'm going to go ahead and read some of the scriptures in the New Testament that talk about this Passion Week of Christ, and allow the Spirit of God to use his word to speak to you and to demonstrate, to show you really how much he does indeed love you.
I agree, because like I told you, for me, this was the precursor. Palm Sunday was a joyous event. You know, Hosanna, yay, palm branches. Little kid, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But for me, it also was that setting off of this week to walk along with Jesus and read those passages throughout the week and remember what he did for us by doing that. Walk alongside him. What better way to become a disciple of Christ than to walk alongside him?
Amen. Amen. And look to him for these examples, one of which is the expression of love toward humanity, the enduring of the Father's assignment. Now, that's true of Christ. He modeled that in perfection. He calls us to do the same. We are to endure. So there's passages that pertain to the days prior to his second coming that say we must endure. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. These passages that say, do not succumb to all the temptations, all the deceptions, continue enduring in Christ. And so he provides such an example to us. But what if our Lord had not endured? I mean, we could bring up hypotheticals, but thanks be to God, he was resolved to follow through with what the Father had commissioned him to do. Oh, precious.
I know. When you ask yourself, could I have endured that? Would I have been willing to lay down my life for others? And I know it's beyond our comprehension at times that they are the triune,
yeah.
You know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and that he knew the outcome. But still, we know that it was a horrendous way to die. And like I said, for people that we think he would never know. You know, I adore the 142nd Fighter Wing out at the airbase. And when I worked on Airport Way, when they would fly out, I would pray for them for a safe journey as they went out and did their maneuvers. But I would always pray that there would be one who would speak the word of God to all of them. And I thanked God for those men and women who sacrificially go out to protect those that they probably will never meet, but are willing to lay their lives on the line for us. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a perfect picture of what Christ does. And I actually sent a note to the airbase and told them that.
Okay. Get a response?
I did.
Okay.
I was invited as a guest to come and be a part of a celebration out there. And I will never forget it. They told me that they had never received a letter of kindness. They received more letters of complaining about jet noise.
Okay.
And, you know, jet noise is the sound of freedom for me because I lived on the airbase at Mountain Home Air Force Base, so it always has been. But again, it's a perfect example of what Christ did for us.
Oh, yes. And motivated by the love. There's a song, oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free. Sometimes we sing that and we appreciate that love, but to whom is it directed? It's God loves us so much that he would give his own Son. And through that sacrificial act, the blood sacrifice, his death on the cross, allow us provision whereby our sins are forgiven. No other means before God whereby sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ alone. And that's where those who have not received that, said yes to that provision, need to do so if they are, on the day of accounting, to find themselves clean before God, where he says, come into my kingdom. Because God, in his whole character, in not only his loving character, but in his whole character, is faithful to himself, so he will be faithful to his words. And you know what, Leslie? He will also say to those who have not said yes to that provision, the lake of fire is your lot, because your sins are still present and you rejected my salvation.
You know, as I was reading through the book of Matthew in preparation for this, and saw the three times that Jesus told his disciples about what was to come, mm-hmm. and that they didn't quite get it,
right?
Which no one would want to believe that, you know. But then finally the last time comes through and they get it. You know, it's just amazing to me how kind and loving and compassionate Jesus was, that he never gave up on his disciples. He continually fed them up to the very last moment. You know, we began this morning, John, with me sharing how Palm Sunday is such a memorable and important event to celebrate. And I would like to reiterate that again for our audience. So this is what I've picked up, and please fill in. So for me, it's the beginning of the last week of Jesus' life here on earth. And during the week, he fulfilled prophecy, which tells me that the word of God is true.
Amen.
You know, check out those prophecies, and by golly, they've happened. That means the word of God is true. And he gave his final teachings to his disciples, and he instilled in them his passion and love for the lost, and to carry on when he was gone. And that's a true leader to me, is when you can instill in those who are beside you this authority and power to go forward without me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't you agree?
Yes, and he's given us the provisions whereby we can walk in him, walk in the Spirit.
Absolutely.
We can abide in him, abide in the vine, and accomplish those things that we cannot in and of ourselves. He is generous to us.
Oh, he is.
He is so good to his own.
You know, he boldly and with authority confronted those who were leading God's children astray with false teachings and religiosity. And, you know, I think about the turning over the tables in the temple, and I actually saw a video of that scene, and saw him, the character they had doing that, and it was powerful to me because it broke his heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what had happened to the temple, you know, and so that piece of it. He prophesied about the future of the church, the great tribulation, the second coming of the Son of Man, and he instituted the Lord's Supper. Now, to me, one of the next things that is crucial to my faith walk is taking communion. And so it was during that final week that he instituted the Lord's Supper that we are still following to this day in remembrance and devotion to him.
Until he comes.
Until he comes.
Uh-huh.
And he suffered, and he died on the cross for us, which of course is Good Friday. And he took all our sins away. You know, they are as far away as the east is from the west, which you can't get from the east to the west. And that's why that's written that way. And he brought us back into personal relationship with God the Father. And of course, the culmination, he rose again. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, victory is his and is ours because of that.
Yes.
And so that's why I so love Palm Sunday and this week that we're going to be walking through. And that's what I wanted to bring forward today. And I know that you have an interest in making the gospel available. So I'm opening the mic to you. So share that with our audience.
I'd like to share it to both the unbeliever, but also the believer as well, because a portion of the gospel that seems to be somewhat neglected today is that which we find in Matthew 28, the Great Commission. go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. That aspect of not just new birth, but God's grace is not exhausted at the cross. He continues to manifest grace. And so that's a part of the gospel as well. If you were to read 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 11 carefully, you would find that the manifestation of God's grace continued. And Paul says, it's by the grace of God that I've done all these things. So, dear Christian, if you really are indeed a Christian, you will live as Christ. You will live unto Christ, further conforming to the image of Christ. Never be Christ. That's heresy. That's the Gnostic heresy that actually second coming passages predict will happen before the days of the return. But we are emphatically told by our Lord to walk closely with him, because he has some messages to the churches of Revelation 2 and 3 that very much apply to our churches today. And that is, don't grow worldly. Don't apostate. Don't fall away. Yes, we have some commendable things, but this I have against you. So let's be mindful of the walk that God wants us and live in that grace, because salvation is a process.
It is.
We see it in Scripture. No one can deny that. There is that point of new birth. It's all by God's grace. God is doing that work in us. But he's also asked us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but realizing that it's God who is at work in us. So it's that ongoing walk that I challenge the Christians, the listeners who are Christians, to emphasize. Die to the flesh. Take up our cross daily, as our Lord has called us to. Live as followers of Christ. And then for those who have not yet been born again, I would encourage you to read John 3, the whole chapter. It's the gospel, the good news, and that first step of newborn faith is clearly articulated there. So enjoy that.
Well, and you have a gift for our listening audience.
The gift.
Yes, you said you would send anyone who contacts you at John, and that's J-O-N-S for John Swanson at MSN.com, a free DVD outlining the great news in Jesus Christ. And simply by emailing you, you'll get it to them. And, you know, folks, I have to tell you, you can't beat that. Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries is offering to you a free DVD which outlines the great news of Jesus Christ, simply by emailing him at J-O-N-S-W-A-N-S-O-N. That's John Swanson at MSN.com.
Yes, and when you email, please give us your snail mail address so we can send it to you. No cost, and we'll follow that with, we won't be in touch with you thereafter. We'll let you take the initiative to get in touch with us. So it's safe. We're not going to put you on a mailing list, et cetera, et cetera. But this is a clear articulation of the gospel done by one of the most reputable gospel ministries today. You'll love this presentation. So take us up on the offer.
So as we walk through the week from Palm Sunday through Resurrection Sunday with Christ each year, hope and encouragement, a heart of compassion, and a strengthening in our spirit to endure until the end for him, Jesus Christ, as he did for us, invades our heart and our life. And I guess that's what I'd like everyone to go away with today. Following Christ has a cost to it, but oh, what a glorious cost that it is. Mm-hmm. Eternal life with our Father in heaven and his precious Son and our Savior and Redeemer, Christ Jesus. Blessings to you this Palm Sunday, and I challenge you to walk through this week remembering all of the things that Christ endured that we might be in right relationship with our Heavenly Father. So go forth with joy in your hearts, strengthened in your spirit, and endure. And we hope you all go away refreshed and restored and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus and the love of God the Father, and that you'll make God's word a part of every breath that you take this week. As always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie and my guest and friend, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.